Okay, so the multi-million dollar question. Kennedy, I know you get this a lot, me too. What is the very best time to send an email? And that's what we're talking about on today's episode.
Gather round, heroes. This is the new Email Marketing Show with Kennedy and Carrie. Tune in each week and learn the email campaign's strategy and what's working right now to make more sales from that email list of yours.
Ooh, welcome to this week's show. With everything we're about to talk about today, there's going to definitely be loads of ideas rattling around in your head. Loads of questions are going to pop up about how you actually apply this to your exact business, your audience, the way that you like to do things. So definitely come along and have those discussions with us inside of our free Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and search for the Email Marketing Show Community and join us. It's totally free. Just search for the Email Marketing Show Community.
Hey, hey, I'm Carrie. I'm a professional speaker and I am the founder at FullyLeveragedBusiness.com. Listen, I've been in online marketing since, it's true, the late 1900s. And I'm an entirely amateur home builder and remodeler based right outside of Dallas, Texas, here in the USA.
And hello, I'm Kennedy from Email Marketing Heroes. I've got two Bengal cats who are actually sisters, and I'm based here near Newcastle, just outside of Newcastle, here in the northeast of England. So, Carrie, I'm excited to get into this topic today. I know you've been doing marketing. You said since the late 1900s.
True.
Explain yourself.
1998 is the year I started my first at-home business. So, true story, late 1900s, probably while you were still in learning to read.
Maybe. I was born in 84. So I guess. I was probably still
learning to read. A bit slow, that one.
Yeah, maybe. This is the question that everybody wants to know, isn't it? Like, I think there's two big questions people ask when they get into email marketing. That is, what's the best subject lines? And we obviously talk about that on every episode of the show with the subject line of the week feature, which will be coming up later on. But the other one is like, what's the best time? I remember when I was first getting started online, a little later than you did, when everyone was like, oh, you should send it at like, it's got to be 3 a.m. UK time because it's great for Pacific. And I'm like, okay, that's what I mean. And some people follow that advice. Do you remember people saying any like particularly good times before we actually get into the science of it?
Yeah, I remember when way back in the day, we were all going through Jeff's product launch formula or following Ryan's, you know, digital marketer launch plan or Jonathan Mizell's advice, Rich's advice, you know, and they would say, well, your best time to send launch emails or the best time to send a cart close would be 1 p.m. Eastern because Eastern is the most prevalent zip code, you know, the time zone, blah, blah, blah. And that's when you're going to have the best times. And so that was the standard advice, whether or not we agreed with it. That was the prevalent advice, I should say.
Yeah. I think one of the challenges with taking anybody's, before we actually get into some actual answers, I think one of the tricky bits is if we go, okay, the best time of day to send an email is at 4 p.m. UK time. All right. If everybody does that, what happens is everybody who's in our worlds gets a whole shit ton of emails at that time. And that means we're now being buried among everybody. It's a bit like when you see somebody go and check out other people's Facebook ads and they go, oh, I'm going to basically steal that angle or that graphic style or whatever. And now it all just blends into one and it no longer works. And that's what happens more and more, especially with this whole idea of like funnel hacking being a thing. You know, which I know Russell and team at ClickFunnels have all been really pushing really hard is this idea of go and find what's working with somebody else and funnel hack them. And I think people have misinterpreted that as go and do a duplicate and then do a bit of word replacement. And instead of saying, you know, lose weight, you might choose it to, you know, make jewelry. And that's really not what it's about.
Right. Exactly. I think part of the human condition is we want to not be wrong. We want to have the recipe, we want to have the formula, and we want to know that it computes, right? If we put this in and then we add it to that, then we know the exact result we're going to get. And unfortunately, that's just not always the case.
Do you think there's an element of that? I hadn't thought about that not wanting to be wrong thing, but do you think there's also a thing that we're now more than ever, because like there's AI being able to spit out so many. I mean, a friend of mine sent me an app today, which will write you a song based on, like, he wrote my name, the fact I'm I do email marketing, and the fact that I've never eaten an egg, which is true. I've obviously eaten eggs in things. I've never eaten an egg. I know, weird. But you basically, and then he told it to create like a big, massive 90s dance song, and it's hilarious and good. So we're all able to like put just random words into things and have it spit something out really, really quickly. And I think that's training us all to really search for fast solutions. So if we're all told, oh, well, the answer is just send your emails at 4 o'clock and everything will be great, it's faster as well. And it sort of makes us feel like we're getting it faster. I guess it allows us to be a bit lazier and think, okay, well, I can take some time off and really considering that.
Yeah, I think we don't want to do the hard work of split testing our own stuff. I think we don't want to do the guesswork. We want to have the shortcut. But I also would say, in our own defense, we've been conditioned by the education system to know, to believe there's a right and wrong answer.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a right or left answer.
Yeah. So let's get into one of the first things I think will be really useful for people to in order to figure out, because the answer is the best time to send an email to your email list is going to really depend on your email list. So the best thing, the most practical thing I think people can do is figure out the time that works best for their list. But what I don't want people to do is go, cool, I'm now going to spend the next 24 weeks testing every hour of the day, and then I'm going to try all the quarter past, the half past, the quarter to, the 45 minutes past, the quarter twos. So that's going to just take forever. The way that I like to think about it is, if you really want to figure this out, I think that the fastest thing you could do is to just test mornings for a bit, test afternoons for a bit, test evenings for a bit. And when we say test, for me, the big thing that we need to really, really consider is this needs to be about the number of clicks, not the number of opens. I mean, ideally, it's about the sales, right? It needs to be like, if I send emails in the morning, do I tend to make more sales then? Okay, I'll do that for maybe 2 weeks. Then the next 2 weeks, I'm going to try sending emails in the afternoon. Does that make the most sales? Does that make more sales per percent, you know, percentage wise? Or does when I do it in the evening? I think that's a really, I think that's a sensible test for most of us who don't have 100 million email subscribers, right? I think that's a pretty good one. And then for me, it's about, what are you testing? What is the result you're looking for? Sales is ideal. Like, if you can test based on number of sales. Next best thing, if that's a bit more complicated, look at the click-through rate. But I think a lot of people get the fact that they think, oh, open rates are really the thing that tells us the answer here. And I don't think that's the case. In fact, I sent an email this morning, and I haven't told you about this yet, actually. But I sent an email this morning. I did a split test of the subject line. I know I'm not talking about subject lines today, but I sent a split test on the subject line. One subject line got a higher, way higher open rate, but a significantly lower click-through rate. And the other one got way lower open rate, less people opening it, but the click-through rate of those people was way higher. And I think it's really interesting that you could trick somebody into opening an email by using, like, you know, your order confirmation or something, you know, something really sneaky like that, which you obviously don't want to do. But really, it's about the mindset of the people who are when they go into that email. So for me, I would never do any test or get any results based on open rate, not to mention the technological flaws with open rate reporting these days anyway. So I think it's about morning, afternoon, evening, test those three things for 2 weeks, make sure you put a whole bunch of leads through it, and base the winner on sales, ideally. That's a lot of manual work. Or if you want to just look at numbers and reporting your system, click-through rate is pretty good. Because for me, the job of email, I don't know how you feel about this, Carrie, but for me, the job of email is, yes, okay, it's to make sales, definitely, but the sales page has to take a certain level of responsibility for that. Making sales, right? You can send the greatest emails in the world to a shitty sales page. It's not going to convert. So the ultimate indicator of a good email for me is the click-through rate. If the click-through rate's good, and it's obviously not talking about an irrelevant product, it's not like going, hey, go buy some shampoo, and you get there, it's like dog training. Obviously, that'll be crazy. But I think that's where it sort of all comes down.
Yeah, totally agree. I think one of the reasons that people have relied so much on opens or defaulted to opens is because they're not selling in every email, or they haven't worked on their offer, or they've fallen into the trap of doing too much coaching or giving away too much in their emails. So they say, oh, well, there's not a click there, or there's not an offer there, so I'll just gauge by the opens. But let me offer a counterpoint to that. I'm a keynote speaker. And so sometimes I speak to audiences in the thousands, but they're not my ideal target audience to sell to.
Right.
So they're super fans or curious, and they open everything I send out because they, you know, want their shot of vitamin C, is what we call it here at the office. They want their shot of vitamin C, but they don't necessarily have an intention or a need or are suitable for the next step. So open rates can be faulty and flawed in so many areas. We're not just entertainment. If you're looking at sales, you got to check the clicks. Now, the reason you want to check clicks and not necessarily conversions is because your sales page might need work or your offer might need work. So that's why we're just talking about clicks at the minute.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as technology is getting along now, I do want to bring up this idea that obviously open rate reporting is flawed. Yeah. Some businesses are really seeing an increase in bot clicks in the actual emails. So if, especially if you're selling to, if you've got a lot of people who are on your list who are in corporations, they will often have like a, I don't know if it's spam detector or some kind of virus detector that will actually go and click the links and go and make sure that that link's a legit link.
Yeah.
So one of the ways we're getting around it is we're using a bit of technology that basically only counts a click if the person stays on the sales page or the page, the destination page for 3 seconds. Because a bot's not going to do that. A bot's going to click the link to make sure it goes to where you say it's going to go to, but it's not going to hang around and actually view a page. So there are ways around that. And obviously we'll keep you informed on the show as that sort of develops into a thing. It might change around. We'll obviously keep you in the loop on that. I want to talk about what we, I think we both felt pretty strongly about the best time to actually send an email. And it's not necessarily morning, afternoon, evening, or a 2:15. I think there's a much more important answer.
Yeah, I think that because you can get caught in the mental gymnastics of, well, Kennedy said afternoon is the best time, so therefore I'm going to send in the afternoon. Oh, but wait, I'm in Texas. Kennedy is in the UK. His afternoon is actually my morning. So does that mean my morning is the best time or my people's afternoon is the best time? And then we get stuck in this like a chihuahua chasing its tail. What's the best? What's the best? What's the best? I think that this answer is the best time to send the email is when you yourself have the least friction and will actually send the email.
I think that's massive, you know, because people do get caught up in the, oh shit, it's 2:15 has gone. I'll have to just leave it till tomorrow. And then they're like, why am I making any more sales? We're not making sales. And like, well, you didn't send an email yesterday. Ah, but I missed 2:15. You're like, well, fuck, dude, right? Okay, fine. I think an email that is sent is all, I mean, it sounds cheesy, right? But like an email that's been sent is better than an email that's not been sent. Like, obviously, right? Come on. So the best time to send it is the time you will send it. So for example, there are some people who will send their email. Say you're sending an email each day, right? Which is what I do, with a tip, a hint, idea, insight, or something like that I do with email marketing. That's what we do. So I know that some people, for example, will go, oh, I'll just send an email when the inspiration hits me during that day. That doesn't work for my mindset, personally. I'm not very good at that. I'm very much a habits and routine person. And it's good to relate habits. So for example, the reason I remember I put deodorant on is because I do it straight after I brush my teeth. Kind of thing, right? Or I know that when I put the shampoo on my hair in the morning, that's when I'm thinking about, oh, what's the topic of today's email going to be? Because you want to build triggers into the habits you've already got so that you always remember those things, right? So for me, I have to send my email first thing in the morning because I get up, I'm going to put the shampoo on my hair, I'm going to come up with an idea for an email. Cool. Then I know as soon as I sit down at my laptop while my cup of tea is brewing, that's when I'm going to slam out the email because that's a bit of dead time. I'm standing up. I haven't had any input into in my mind yet, which from the external world, nothing's influenced me yet. I'm purely just doing it from a place of me and what I want to share. And that means it's going to get done. It means that I don't get to like 10:30 at night and I'm dozing off and I sit bolt upright. My eyes spring open. I'm like, fuck, I didn't send the email today. I've got to go and do it. Like, that's not going to happen. And I'm not also weighed down by the rest of the day thinking, oh, I must remember to do that. I must remember to do that. I must, because that gets in the way of your flow of your day. Just get the damn thing done.
Absolutely. Good friend of mine who's an influencer in the fitness space, Pat Rigsby, has sent an email a day, I think for the last 17 years, never missed a day, holiday, anything. It's the first thing he does when he gets up and he's done. And then, you know, I mean, we could look at people, Ben Settle, same thing. It's just part of the daily routine. It's part of their daily work. Mm-hmm. If you're waiting and throwing up obstacles, I think author John Acuff calls it the noble obstacle that we throw up. Oh, but I don't know what time to send it. Oh, but I'm waiting for that one testimonial to come back. Oh, but I'm waiting for that sales page to be done. We're throwing up these noble obstacles that give us reasons to avoid doing the uncomfortable thing. Mm-hmm. When really, what if you looked at it as these people that are on your list are actually sitting in your living room, they're guests in your home, and they're waiting for you to get up and address them for the day, or mm-hmm. they're waiting for a word from you because they opted in to hear from you, and you get up and you are grumpy and you shuffle to the teapot or the coffee pot and you wait for inspiration before you address anyone in the room. You know, Stephen King, who's a very prolific novelist, he said, yes, I write when I'm motivated. I sit down at 8 a.m. every day and I write for 4 hours until the motivation hits. Like, it was a discipline and a practice of writing and taking the action. So I think if we wait for things to be perfect, it's the old adage of you can't wait and leave the house when you know all the green lights are going to be on in town. You have to get out and do some stops and starts and just put it in your day. So your time might be morning. It might be better for you to have it stack it at lunch when you have a break, or maybe if you work a full-time job or you're running a retail environment and then you want to do it at the end of the day. You know, that's up to you. But that also comes a bit, Kennedy, of knowing your audience. So first you have to know yourself. You know yourself when you're going to get it done. And you also have to know your audience.
True, true. When you're thinking about knowing your audience, what are you sort of thinking about there?
You know, I think we have to know, in general, the people that we're talking to, what are their email habits? Are they only on their phone, like contractors and real estate agents and fitness professionals who tend to do everything from their phone? They're rarely sitting down to actually check on their desktop. Are they stay-at-home moms? Are they hobbyists? Are they brick and mortar? What are their habits? Where are they checking their email? Look at them. Where are they checking their email? What tends to be the time of day they're checking their email? If they're running a brick and mortar, they're probably serving customers during the day. They've got people coming in and out, you know, those kind of things. So know your audience, know if they're off on the weekends. If they're off on the weekends, does that mean they're totally off on the weekend? Or does that mean they're catching up on admin and email on the weekends? I think you won't know everything about them, but you can generalize and you can make some, you know, basic hypothetical guesses.
Yeah, I think you can. And I think one of the things to do is again, I want to just harp back to, I think it's superseding all of this is still when you will do it. Like, if you know your audience, if you're like, oh, my audience doesn't really check their emails in the morning, but the only time you know you're going to send an email is in the morning, do it in the morning, because some of them will read it in the afternoons. And it still means it's going to get sent. One of the things that sort of reminds me of in terms of like getting into the habit and just doing it irrespective of the audience is years and years and years ago, when I was just performing purely as a full-time entertainer, I had a system set up where someone would book me for a gig, so I'd speak to them on the phone, talk about their event, quote them the event. And I got on the call with this one charity. They got on the call with me. Great event coming up. It was like a veterinarian sort of charity, looking after animals and stuff, something I really care about. And they really talked me down on my price. Like, they negotiated really well. Like, I wasn't as skilled as they were. They nailed me, right? Absolutely nailed me. And so I was like, yeah, cool, I'll do it for that price. I was pretty happy. They had talked me down. I confirmed the event and I put it in my system. What I'd sort of forgotten, because it had been pre-set up, was in my system when I booked an event, there was an automated upsell, right? I mean, that's, you know, I was using marketing in like a regular sort of bit, well, regular business, entertainment business. I don't know if it's regular, but in a non-marketing business to have an automated upsell. So what would happen is like 2 weeks later, they would get an email saying, hey, I've just been thinking about your event. I was thinking I could do this really cool special thing where I don't even remember what it was now, but you know, I can do something special for it. It's an extra this amount. Would that be something you'd be interested in chatting about? The first thing I remember about even having that upsell is, bear in mind, I've just got off the call 2 weeks ago from this client who's just talked me down on my price. I get an email reply from an email that I've forgotten that was automatically being sent, which just said, that sounds great. Yeah, let's do that. And they were now agreeing to spend more than my original fee. And think about it. Ordinarily, if I was manually going to do the upsell,
you wouldn't have.
If I'd just been talked down on my fee, Would I have offered the upsell? No, I'd have been like, oh, well, you know, they're not going to take this. The fact it was automated, that gave me that sort of confidence. That meant that it was happening anyway, and I ended up with that. So it's all about making sure you have things in place to have confidence. So for example, I know you and I were talking about the fact that having automations in place, they give you the confidence, don't they?
They do. And I, as a business coach, I would say that's when you know you need to create the automations, is so that they can be brave when you are not able to, so that they can keep working when you are not able to. I coach a lot of people that are in very different seasons of life, meaning grief or busy or crisis. And what we know is that automations sometimes really are a saving grace because we might not be feeling brave enough to finish the launch. We might not be feeling alert or aware or even confident enough in our offer on that particular hard week, which we all have those, that particular hard week, which means we're making assumptions and projections or are just not functioning the way we should. So I'm a huge proponent of building the automations, creating the campaigns, which is why I love Email Blueprint, honestly. Create the campaign so that they can do the heavy lifting so that you don't have to.
Right. So what we're basically saying is the very best time to send an email is the time you will send it. And if you want to get more dialed in than that, then have a look at testing morning, afternoon, and evening, and be just really cognizant, be really aware of your audience. But don't overthink your audience. I think a lot of people get tied up and weighed down in really overthinking, oh, my audience doesn't really check their emails on weekends. Do you know that? Do you actually know that? Give it a shot. If you get a 0% open and click-through rate, okay, maybe I'll believe you.
Right. And then once you have enough meaningful data, then you can go back and look for patterns. But imagine this. What if you only sent out postal mail based on when you thought people were going to check their mail?
Right.
Like, that doesn't even make any sense. I don't know if you go to the post in the morning, in the afternoon, or once a week. I mean, I don't. So what if I didn't mail you because I'm waiting for the perfect time so that it will land in your box on the one day that you go? Like, we just can't guess that or guarantee that. There can be patterns, but you can't 100% predict. But here's the other thing that I would advise, as someone who coaches a lot of business owners, I would say, please stop with the all or nothing mentality. Like, I missed that time of day today, so I'm not going to email at all today. Or I missed 2 days this week. Now I'm embarrassed. They're going to think I'm flaky if I email them now. I would say think like somebody who's trying to create a pattern of working out and being more physically active. Like, if I work out at 6 a.m., maybe that's optimal. Maybe noon is less than optimal, but I still got it in. Maybe 9 p.m. is the least optimal time of day, but I made the effort. I showed up and I'm still going to build muscle from that workout. Right. So, and if I miss a day, it doesn't mean that tomorrow I can't move my body. It just means I'm probably going to have a little more soreness, or I'm going to be a little less familiar. You know, it's going to take me a couple more days to get back in the habit. We have to really stop with the all or nothing. It really is just a way of letting ourselves off the hook, honestly.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think it is. It's basically an excuse going, oh, I missed it. So a lot of what we talked about today in terms of getting those emails out there, all the automations and stuff, you can find inside of our Email Hero Blueprint program, which Carrie mentioned before. If you want to go check out the details of that, check out more than 45 done for you, already written email campaigns for everything you could possibly want to do, plus all of our training, everything you possibly want to do with your email marketing. Go check it out at emailheroblueprint.com. That's emailheroblueprint.com. And now it's time for this week's
subject line of the week.
All right. So this week I sent out an email with the subject line, spitting chicken. and I know we talked about this earlier as well, and you saw this email too. So yeah, it was literally the two words, spitting chicken, and I think it worked really, really well. Actually, our click-through rate from that was really pretty good. The reason I think it worked well was because I accidentally did something which I didn't realize I was doing. What you can't tell from that subject line is whether I'm talking about a chicken that was spitting or the fact that somebody is spitting some chicken. Now, it was the latter. It was the second one. It was talking about the fact that, you know, the story was something to do with the fact, why does a waiter wait until you've got a mouthful of food before they ask you, do you want any more drinks? And you're like, you're going to get covered in chicken at this point. But I think that's one of the reasons it works. It has a lot of like questions. It's what we like to call compound curiosity. It has a lot of questions. It's like, is it a chicken spitting? Why was a chicken spitting at you? Who was he spitting at? Or were you spitting some chicken at someone? Who was it? Like, there are lots of questions in that. But the really important thing, as usual, is the subject line had nothing to do with the product. And that's really, really important. That's a pattern that you'll see a lot in really good subject lines, is they tend not to have anything to do with the product.
Well, now I'm super curious and I've got to go dig into today's emails because I haven't. I haven't read that yet. I like it. All right. So thank you so much for listening to the whole show today. Be sure to hit subscribe on your podcast player and we'll speak to you next week.
Make sure you hit subscribe on your podcast player to automatically download brand new episodes of the new Email Marketing Show every Email Marketing Wednesday.